Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. You know, every year in my garden, I have monarch butterflies that come to eat my milkwood plants. They're fat little grubs, caterpillars, that crawl up the stem inch by inch, eating and eating as they go. Give them a few weeks and they'll cocoon, and then they'll hatch into beautiful monarch butterflies. Did you know that it takes 3 generations of monarch butterflies to make a round trip from my yard in California to South America and then back again? In other words, they leave as grandparents, have children partway through the journey, and it's their grandchildren who return. So was Solomon. He's carrying out the work here, building the temple in this chapter, but he's not doing it alone. He's doing it with multiple other people. You see, his father David had the vision for the temple, but his father couldn't carry it out. So like that monarch butterfly, his son ends up completing the job. Today, in Spain, Barcelona as a matter of fact, there's something called the Sagrada de Familia. It's a cathedral in Barcelona designed by a famous architect, Antonio Gaudí. He was an amazing artist and architect. He designed a cathedral that was so grand in its scope that it's still being built today. Now you might think, man, 20, 30 years is a long time to build a cathedral. But that wouldn't be hugely impressive, except the fact that it was started in 1882. When Gaudí died in 1926, it was only 1/4 of the way finished. It's taken 150 years to build so far. The Egyptian pyramids didn't take that long. The Great Wall of China only took 50 more years than that, clocking in at 200. Computers sped up the process in these days of the Sagrada de Familia building project, but still, it has 18 towers, is 170 meters tall, and it costs 25 million euros a year to keep the project going. Does that sound familiar? Because if it doesn't, you need to read chapter 2, which tells you all about the immense amount of lumber and gold and time and manpower needed to complete this temple. To put the temple on the fast track, Solomon employed tons of workers and literally tons of the finest wood in the world. And to do that, he had to contract Hiram, King Hiram, from Lebanon. You see, it was going to take a huge amount of wood, large cedar beams. And the cedars of Lebanon were very famous, not just because U2 sung a song about it, but because it was considered the strongest and most beautiful wood in the world. And so with you and I, like Solomon, building something that he didn't begin and something that would be finished and continue to be built after his lifetime, we are building on the work that many have done who went before us. We're actually a part of a building that God has been building since Jesus died and rose from the dead. God is building a new temple, a place of living stones that you and I are a part of, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's dive into the chapter a little bit. Solomon sent this message to Hiram, king of Tyre. Send me cedar logs as you did for my father David when you sent him cedar to build a palace to live in. Verse 4. Now I'm about to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God and dedicate it to him for burning fragrant incense before him, for setting out the consecrated bread regularly, and for making burnt offerings every morning and evening on the Sabbaths, at the new moons, and at the appointed festivals of the Lord our God. This is a lasting ordinance for Israel. The temple I am going to build will be great, because our God is greater than all other gods. But who is able to build the temple for him, since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him? Who then am I to build the temple for him, except as a place to burn sacrifices before him? There are 3 things we see here from this letter. Number 1, Solomon begins by praising God as better even than Hiram's God. He had to butter him up a little bit, you see. And then 2, Solomon believed that God deserved the best, but he didn't feel like the best man to do it. He felt inadequate doing it alone. So, the third principle, Solomon sought help. You see, my friend, you, as I said before, are a link in a very big chain. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house or temple to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So think about it. If Solomon knew that only the best would do for God, and Peter says you are a living stone, what does that say about you and me? Well, in one sense, you could back up and say, hey, I must be the very best. But of course, we know that that's not true. We feel as inadequate as Solomon to be a part of this building. However, that last bit, that's the one that gets me, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus has made you and I the very best. We were rough-hewn pieces of stone pulled out of the ground and dirty. Lots of rough edges on us, but Christ made us perfect. Therefore, we have been made the very best. We've actually been made as holy as Jesus himself. Hard to believe, isn't it? But that's what God does with sinful people. He takes them, he cleans them up, and he builds a temple of people who will glorify him. Give him the credit. Give him the honor. Bring him glory. And my friend, this is an ongoing work. It's been spanning generations, spanning continents, spanning oceans, spanning many different types of people, and you have your role to play in it too. You're not the end-all be-all, after all, and you're not adequate to do this yourself. But together, over the generations, God is still building a temple, a house to shine out his glory in. And he's been building a lot longer than Antonio Gaudi. So Antonio, eat your heart out. The Sacra di Familia in Barcelona is the most amazing building I have ever personally been to. But it's nowhere near as amazing as what God is building through his people. And one day in heaven, we'll see that temple completed. Because after all, once you've read the book of Revelation, you know that there is no temple there. Because we, my friends, are the temple. We are the place that God will shine out his glory for all eternity. And no one era of the church has given a complete picture of who God is. Only partial. I mean, you read about the early church, different eras of the church, the Wesleyan movement. They were all great. The Jesus movement. They were all great. But none of them has shown completely who Jesus is. Believer, how will this generation glorify God in a new way, in a unique way, in a way in which the world around it desperately needs to see God? The church has made tons of mistakes and missteps, but together, if we keep looking at him, trusting in him, and trusting in the finished work of Christ, we'll get there, and we'll bring him tons of glory. Well, read 2 Chronicles chapter 2 today, and as you do, ask God, how can I glorify you?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.